You know, as I was listening to that song, Peter came to my mind. And Peter, you know, Peter was one of those guys, and this is not a message, it's just free for you to tuck in your pocket later. Peter was one of those guys that just loved the Lord. And he so desperately wanted to be Jesus' number one guy, and he strived to do that, but it never failed that Peter always tripped over himself. And it just, when I was thinking about that, there's just, I don't know if y'all have this or not, but my head, inside my brain, everything plays in movies. And so when I'm listening to lyrics like that, there's a movie going on in my head. I don't know if anybody else dreams like that or whatever. But that's what happens in my head. So I have this picture of Peter, and I also have this picture of us trying to teach Henry how to walk, and how you know difficult that was at first, and how he fell down a lot. So I took that, I took with Peter, and I thought, man, Peter is just like, you know, I relate to Peter because I'm a lot like Peter, that sometimes I get in the way of myself trying to follow Jesus, and I fall down a lot, and that I can't even stand without holding your hand. Just reminded me that, man, we are so dependent on God. We try to do it by ourselves, and we're going to fall flat on our face. And Peter, you know, obviously, if you've read the gospel, the gospels, you've heard the story of Peter and how he denied Jesus three times. And then later in John, Jesus is there on the bank. He's cooking breakfast for them. And they are, they have been fishing all night long. They haven't caught anything. Jesus does the whole thing of put your nets out. He does a great catch. The boat pulls in the catch, and Peter says, that's the Lord. He jumps out of the boat. He swims to the shore instead of rowing to the shore. And he just goes there with Jesus. And in that moment, Jesus, I love this story. This is not the message. It's just the Holy Spirit moving. But this passage in John chapter 21, 15 through 17, it's just Jesus holding Peter's hand after he's denied him three times, and he's reinstating Peter, and he says, so when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, come on. And they begin, and they're probably not holding hands, but they're walking down this wherever they're at, this beach that they just rode into, and he says, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, shepherd my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all these things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, tend my sheep. You know, sometimes we need that reminder. We get to where we start walking on our own. I remember when I was teaching, we were teaching Henry how to walk. He'd get these little spurts, you know, and he was doing just fine. And then, whack, you know, he'd fall flat on his face. And folks, that's the way we, in our Christian lives, in our Christian walk, we get close to God, and we draw close to him, and we begin to learn about who he is and what he has in store for us, and we think that we got it, and we instantly forget that he's been holding our hand the whole time. So, no, we got it, Lord, we're going to go, and then, right on our face. And it just reminded me this morning, I can't even stand without you holding my hand. Like, we need to always be connected to our Father. We need that life source. We need that power that comes from him. And how are we connected to our Lord? We're connected by prayer and by reading the scripture and by being together and fellowshipping together. That is how we have a relationship and a connection with the Lord. What a wonderful song. And maybe y'all are going there, Pastor, I didn't get any of that from that song. But that's okay. The Spirit just laid that on me to tell you about that this morning. And I just want you to, I want you to hear that. I want you to know, man, that is a powerful, powerful song. And get a chance to go back and read how Jesus reinstates Peter and that whole story there. But hey, how about something completely different? Not completely different, but a little bit different. Let's go back to the Old Testament, what I actually had planned for today. Jonah. Book of Jonah. Turn over there. Have y'all ever done anything you weren't supposed to do? No? Okay. bad when the pastor can't even find the book he's preaching out of. Come on now. This is called fat finger syndrome. Chapter 1. So, none of you have ever done anything to disobey or disobey God or anything like that in your life, right? I mean, we've all just stayed, we're talking about, Peter, and that plays perfectly into a story of disobedience, and Peter, disobeyed God in a big way, When we do that, we find ourselves in a predicament. We think that we can do it on our own. We think that we can, do life by ourselves, or we got a better plan. And we find out real quick that it's not a better plan, and we end up, falling again flat on our face. And that kind of happens here in the book of Jonah. And so today I want to go in there. Jonah was a prophet. And simply put, a prophet in those days. There were prophets that were there for the people of Israel, and they were there to give the word of God to the people of Israel, to keep them on the straight and narrow path. And so if there was a prophet in your town, the Lord spoke to him, and then he would speak to you and share the word of God for that day or for that week or for that month or however often the Lord spoke to him. But they were there to keep the people on the straight and narrow, to understand what God's will for their life was. And so Jonah was a prophet. He was that guy. He was that guy that would bring the word of God. And so he was one that was connected to the Lord, that the Lord would speak to him on a regular basis. And in this particular time, the Lord spoke to Jonah. But the Lord spoke to Jonah and told him something that he really didn't want to hear. Have you ever been in that position? You know that you should be doing something, but you don't really want to do it. I had that, for instance, at home, or it was at Lowe's. I was in a line. I was checking out. I was doing my own little time, trying to get stuff done. I had to get home at that time. Stacy and I lived in the House Springs, Fenton area, and I was working on the house, and I had got some stuff, and I was ready to get back to the house, and I happened to get in this line, and this young man who was handicapped was on the phone, and he was crying, and he was also a checker, and I'm thinking, what is going on? He's on the phone, he's crying, I kind of got some of the thing that was going on, but I wasn't real sure, and the Lord in that moment impressed upon me that I need to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with him. I remember having this conversation, but Lord, it's Lowe's, and he's working. Like, what if I get him, we come up with all these issues, what if I get him in trouble? What about all the people behind me, Lord? I know that he's having a difficult day and that this would probably be good, but Lord, I think you're wrong. And I didn't share the gospel with him that day. And folks, I can only describe what to you felt like a piano falling on my head as I walked out the door of Lowe's that day. I knew that the Lord had spoke to me and told me to share the gospel with that young man, that he needed to hear the gospel. And as I walked out those doors, I'm telling you, it hit me like a ton of bricks. That I had quenched the spirit. That I had just doused that fire that was dwelling within me and said, nope, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to go out. And I can only tell you that when I got to the car, I became sick. Not like, that kind of sick, but just, is the only word I can tell you. And I went back in, and he was busy, and there was a line and everything else. And so, the Lord and I compromised. I said, Lord, I'll write him a note and I'll hand it to him with my number and my information and my business card and all that, and just so he knows. And even though I went back, it wasn't right because I had quenched the spirit. In that moment in time, the Lord had led me to that moment, to that point, to share the gospel. And all those concerns I had about all the people that were behind me, those were a moot point. They did not need, I don't need to worry about those folks. Maybe those folks need to hear the gospel as well. But what I needed to do was to obey my Father in heaven and share the gospel with that young man, and I did not. I instead did a partway later on after I'd already quenched the Spirit. And I say all that to say that when we don't listen to what God is telling us and we quench that spirit or we do a different thing, it ends up not God's will. It ends up not being what God wanted us to do in that moment in time. And it's just secondary. It's not as sweet as it would have been had we obeyed the Father the first time. And so Jonah, being the prophet, hears that God, what God wants him to do, and he immediately is against it, okay? And so in Jonah chapter 1, 1 through 3, it says this: "The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, 'Arise and go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me.' But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." So he went down to Joppa, found a ship that was going to Tarshish, paid the fare, and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now, there's a lot wrong with that passage, and we're just going to dissect it this morning and go from there. First and foremost, Jonah is a prophet of God. This is like a professional speaker of God. Like, God has laid on him the ability to speak the word. He's given him the gifts to do so. And so when your boss, the Father in heaven, comes to you and says, "I need you to go to Nineveh and preach the gospel, preach the word, preach my word, the good news. I want you to do that." This is the Old Testament, so Jesus isn't there yet. But to preach the good news of God, to preach against the evil that is going on there, you do it. But see, Jonah had some personal things with Nineveh. If you go back and you look at all the political stuff that's going on in that town in that time, the Assyrian Empire and all that other stuff, there was some political stuff going on that Jonah didn't want to be a part of. There was essentially a rivalry, if you will, between the people groups there. And Jonah just did not feel he should go to that. So Jonah comes up with this harebrained idea. And I can only say a harebrained idea because you are serving the Lord God Almighty in heaven. You have probably seen him do some amazing things. And your first thought is, "I'm going to get on a boat, and I'm going to get in the middle of the ocean and get away from the Lord." What? Like, Jonah, what are you thinking? What are you trying to do here? That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. But Jonah, for some reason, thinks that he can escape the presence of God by getting on a boat and fleeing from the Lord. And that's what he does. He goes down. He pays his fare. He's manufacturing his own escape plan. He's not asking the Lord. He's just doing his own thing. And again, if this points to any fact that our plans are lousy compared to God's plans, this is a perfect example of that. Because Jonah is trying to put together this escape plan, trying to escape from the God in heaven who created the earth, who told the oceans where to start and where to end. He told the lands where to pop up from. He spoke everything into motion. And so Jonah's idea to get away from the Lord is to get out in a boat in the middle of the ocean. Our plans don't pan out the way they should. And so Jonah begins to run. God called Jonah, ran. Verses 4 through 6, we catch up with our heroine, whatever you want to call him. He is on a boat heading to Tarshish with some other sailors. Verse 4 through 6 says this: "The Lord hurled a great wind on the sea." Shocker. "And there was a great storm on the sea, so that the ship was about to break up. Then the sailors became afraid, and every man cried out to his," little g, "God. And they threw the cargo, which was in the ship, into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone below into the hold of the ship and lain down and fallen asleep. So the captain approached him and said to him, "How is it that you are sleeping? Get up, call on your God. Perhaps your God will be concerned about us so that we will not perish." The reason I said little g earlier is because when he says pray to God, that is other gods besides the Lord Almighty. Now you might notice that when the captain is talking to Jonah about his God, he uses the little g. Well, that's because it hasn't been revealed to us, revealed to him, that Jonah, in fact, serves the Lord Almighty, big G, God. So that's why that's written that way. I just wanted to clarify that. And so Jonah has obviously felt comfortable with his plan, and he thinks that he's escaped the Lord. He's gone down. He's taken a nap. He's taken a siesta because he thinks that he has escaped the Lord, and he no longer has to worry about going to Nineveh, and he's taking a nap. The Lord has hurled a great wind. A storm breaks. The boat is about to break up, and so this is a massive storm. And these sailors are freaking out about what is going on. And here is Jonah down below, not worried about things, sound asleep, being rocked back and forth, I'm sure, like a little baby. And the captain comes down and says, "Get up and call on your God. Perhaps your God will be concerned about us so that we will not perish." Now, do you think at this moment in time, Jonah's going, "Oh, man, I knew this was a bad idea. And it's going to come out, and they're going to know that I serve the Lord God Almighty, and I'm a Hebrew, and that I'm running from God, and they're all going to find out." But they continue to go. He continues to play this kind of deal. And so in verse 7 through 9, they begin to cast lots to find out who this calamity comes from. So verse 7 through 9 says this. It says, "Each man said to his mate, 'Come, let us cast lots so that we may learn on whose account this calamity has struck us.' So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. And then they said to him, 'Tell us now, on whose account has this calamity struck us? What is your occupation, and where do you come from? What is your country, and from what people are you?' He said to them, 'I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, big G, God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land.'" So Jonah comes clean to these guys. But he admits right there at the end, he says, "I'm a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." So Jonah knew that God had created all of these things. The sea that he's trying to escape, the Mediterranean Sea is where he was at this moment in time. And God had created it. And he still thought that he could escape the presence of God by getting on a boat and beginning to sail. And so he begins to share with them, "Yes, I am a Hebrew, and yes, I serve the Lord, the God of Israel, and yes, the calamity has fallen on us because of me, because I am disobeying my Father in heaven, and I'm running from him." And it all comes to light. Sheer panic is spreading over the boat. But I want you to see something in this story. That even in our disobedience, God is good enough to make things happen. In our disobedience, God is good enough to make great things happen. Just keep that in mind, okay, as we continue to read. Verse 10 to 13 says this. "Then the men became extremely frightened, and they said to him, 'How could you do this?' For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence. Because he had told them. So they said to him, 'What should we do to you that the sea may become calm for us?' For the sea was becoming increasingly stormy. He said to them, 'Pick me up and throw me into the sea, and the sea will become calm for you. And I know that on account of me, this great storm has come upon you.' However, the men rowed desperately to return to land, but they could not, for the sea was becoming more stormier against them." You see, these men, we're not entirely sure who these men are. We know that they're Gentiles of some sort. They're not Hebrews. They're not Israelites. But they are Gentiles of some sort. They're praying to these all these other little gods. And in this moment, I want you to see the quality that they have for human life. Okay? Jonah has just told them what they must do to calm the seas and everything to stop. And these men, understanding that the waves and the wind are about to tear their boat apart, begin to try to row back to shore to save this man and not have to throw him into the sea. These Gentiles who do not serve our Lord God, who don't understand that all humans are created in the image of God, have compassion on Jonah, knowing that he is the reason why this storm has come upon them, and they try their best to get him back to land and not hurl him into the sea. And they're Gentiles. They don't know about God Almighty.